Welcome back to Time for Nach, one of the easiest Sefarim to talk about, and that is Megillas Esther. Of course, we know Megillas Esther is read on Purim. It's the only Megillah that has special laws about how it's to be written and how it's to be read. The Gemara in Megillah Dav Zayin Amud Aleph quotes Rabbi Elazar that Megillas Esther was written with Ruach HaKodesh. Now, it's interesting, when did Megillas Esther happen? We're not actually told when. However, Seder Olam, which is quoted by Rashi, and the Gemara backs this up, the Medrash as well, is that Megillas Esther happened during the era of Golas Bavel. This is after Churban Bais Rishon, after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. What happened was like this. Initially, Koresh, we're going to learn about this in Sefer Ezra Nehemiah, Koresh gave us permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. We started rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, but the Kusim, who were renegade Jews, actually prior they were converts, to be honest, they complained that we were using the Beis HaMikdash to rebel, and the king, Machlokes, whether that was Koresh or Achashverosh, stopped the building of the second Beis HaMikdash for 18 years. It was in that 18-year hiatus that the story of Purim happened. In fact, we're going to see the story of Purim took place across the 10 years from the beginning to the end. We're going to see very clearly. So all of that is in this context. And therefore, there are phrases and veiled references to the Beis HaMikdash in Megillas Esther. Maral writes, the last day of the Suda, Achashverosh's feast, was Yom Kippur. He dressed up as the Kohen Gadol. They were the Kalim, the cups of the Beis HaMikdash. And he was celebrating the end of what he thought was the 70-year exile and that the Jews hadn't been redeemed yet. That was part of the celebration. Also, Rashi quotes when Achashverosh tells Esther, "Ad chatzia malchus v'seyas," whatever you want until half the kingdom. Rashi says that refers to the Beis HaMikdash, which is in the middle of the kingdom. So again, they're veiled references. That is a time period which we are in. How central is the Megillah? Very central. The Rambam in Hilchas Purim quotes, he doesn't actually call it Hilchas Purim, he calls it Hilchas Megillah. In other words, the Megillah is the mitzvah Purim. The other mitzvahs, whether it's a feast of Mishloach Manos and Matanos Levionin, gifts to the poor, they are just parts of fulfilling the mitzvah of the Megillah. The Rambam also writes, in the introduction to Yad HaChazakah, just beautiful, beautiful words. The point of the Megillah is to praise Hashem, to talk about how he saved us, and to show us that the Torah is possible, that anyone who calls out to Hashem genuinely will be answered. B'chol Kareinu Elav is true. It happened. This is the event. The Megillas Esther, the Purim story, is exactly that. Therefore, let's see if we can understand the Megillah. We're going to start with the first perek, because where else are you going to start? First perek of Megillah, I think people know the storyline, so we're not going to indulge too much in the storyline. Let's give a couple of general insights, as well as quickly going over the story. So Megillah Esther starts with Achashverosh. He rules from Hodu to Kush, 127 countries. Whether that means literally 127 countries from Hodu all the way to Kush, and as those are the ends, all the Gemara says maybe Hodu and Kush were next to each other, and he ruled over all 127 countries, just as strong as one would rule from one country to another. Either way, that is Achashverosh. The Vilna Gaon has a massive and important commentary on Megillas Esther, and he says that Achashverosh wasn't a real king. The Ibn Ezra, it's a machlokes, the Ibn Ezra and the Gaon. When Achashverosh says the Vilna Gaon, Achashverosh was not a real king. In others, he usurped the throne, and therefore many of his decisions were made based on trying to vindicate his rule, trying to protect his rule and stave off any potential rebellion. Therefore, he marries someone called Vashti. She's the granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar, and Achashverosh is never going to get rid of her. No way, not going to happen, because she vindicates his rule. Hashem warps Achashverosh's mind. He has a feast, which is there for initially 180 days, and then there's a 7-day feast for Shushan. By the way, these feasts are very different. The 180 days is a tour around his treasure houses, only for the generals and important people from the provinces from the 127 countries. That the goal of that is to get everyone to fear Achashverosh. Then there's a 7-day feast just for the people of Shushan. The goal of that is to get people in Shushan to love him. Why? Because in Thezina rebellion, you want to make sure the people around you protect you, and that you need love for that. And therefore, the 7-day feast is in his palace. It is Everyone gets to eat what they want. You know, Hashtia Kadas Ein Ones. There's no forced drinking. It's supposed to show that Ahasuerus is the total archetypal democrat, man of the people, loved by the people. And I see it's going to all go wrong soon. And the other point that Vilna Gaon makes is that due to the difficulties in trying to replicate Shtar HaMelech's throne, Ahasuerus had the entire capital city moved to Shushan. Normally, Nineveh, Elam, these kind of places are the ones that pop up in Nach. Shushan doesn't really. Shushan was made the capital because the only people who could make the throne to replicate that of Shlomo HaMelech lived in Shushan, and it was too dainty, too grand, too heavy, really, as well, to properly move all the way from wherever to Shushan, or Shushan, sorry, to Elam or Nineveh. Therefore, the capital city became Shushan. That's going to be very important, as we know, because Mordechai needs to be in Shushan for the Purim story to happen. He has to overhear Big Son and Teresh talking. That's a miracle or mini miracle, hidden miracle, number one, or perhaps number two. What happens in the Suda? So again, Ahasuerus is warped by Hashem. The Atzas Hashem comes true in as much as Ahasuerus overhears people talking. They're arguing about who is greater, who is more beautiful, which kind of women are more beautiful. The reason they do that is because Vashti is fed up of Ahasuerus feasting, so she makes a meal adjacent to the men's meal for the women. They hear the women talking, they argue about, the men argue about which women are more beautiful. It starts hitting a crescendo. It's arguing at the meal. Ahasuerus doesn't like this because he's supposed to be the great democrat. Therefore, to still that, he says, Queen Vashti, come on down. Come down. Vashti refuses. It's very embarrassing. And then Ahasuerus puts the matter to the Yodei Ha'itim. The Vilna Gaon says these were the courts. Now, the courts were very interesting because there was one fellow who was appointed to be a judge that day, more or less, and that was Memuchan, otherwise known as Haman. He was having domestic issues at home, and therefore he saw this as a way of jumping on the bandwagon, and he legislates for all men to rule over their wives, which is helpful for him. And he legislates basically for Vashti to be killed. He also gives emergency powers to the king, which will enable him to behead, kill anyone who he doesn't like without needing to go to the courts, anyone who offends him personally. That is going to be tremendously important because many prakim later, when Haman is king, is killed, excuse me, when he's hanged, Haman protests to the king and says, hey, you have to go through the courts. And Ahasuerus says, no, we changed the law, remember? So Haman effectively sets his own gallows over here. What's really important to note just philosophically is the first parak is where we sin. We go to the meal of Ahasuerus. We should never have done that. But at the same time, we're sinning, and that is causing this decree against us eventually, as we'll see in Parak Gimel. Hashem is moving the situation. Hashem is manipulating events such that we can be saved. He's doing the big miracle of getting rid of Vashti. And the next parak, he's going to put Esther in there. If we do want to repent, all the pieces are there on the board such that we can. Hashem is making the refuah before the makkah. Hashem provides the antidote, the medicine, before the illness. But here, not only before the illness, at the same time, the same events that were causing the illness, the decree of our annihilation, Hashem is getting ready that he can save us if we pull those spiritual strings.